Our next guest has a book coming out next month. And I guess he's probably waiting until March Madness is over. Todd Cashin is a professor of psychology at George Mason University, and he wanted to see how his basketball team did first, because you don't want to mess up your headlines. You don't want to be competing with your own school. What we're talking about here is a study from Professor Cashin that shows that women are happier and more grateful than men. Now, first of all, Todd, listen, I really appreciate you joining us in the middle of March Madness. I know that how tough that can be for a lot of Americans, so thanks very much.
No, I appreciate it, and that, I assume that also means that we have about 15 listeners around the world.
Well, maybe on your side of the border. March Madness for us is we have to take the empties back to get the garage cleaned out. That's March Madness in Canada. Women are happier and more grateful. I got to tell you, I feel happier and more grateful that I actually have a woman in my life.
That's probably true. I think one of the things is people get really worked up about these gender findings. People don't like to hear if they're on the tail end of their gender doesn't do as well as the other. When it comes to it, women are better at reading emotions, women are better at expressing emotions, and women are better at actually having relationships where they can really reveal a lot about themselves. And this ends up being really one of the gateways to having a really satisfying, meaningful life.
Is that because men are, we're supposed to be tough, we're supposed to have this veneer about us where we're not supposed to reveal our emotions? Is that what this comes down to?
Well, that's what we think from this research, is there's nothing biologically that would mean that men should be at a disadvantage compared to women. There's nothing in our evolution fighting mammoths and tigers in the ancestral environment that men should be at a disadvantage. I think what it comes down to is it's the scripts that we have, is that boys shouldn't be crying, boys shouldn't be hugging other people unless it's their romantic partner, and boys have to be tough, they have to be at the top of the social hierarchy, and they've got to fight for everything. And I think women are given a lot more flexibility, and what this study shows is that flexibility has some real benefits that carry over into having a happy life.
Here's the thing, Todd. It's taken me almost 24 years of marriage to convince my wife when we're driving long distance and she says to me, "What are you thinking about?" And I say nothing, that I'm telling her the truth. It's taken me that long to convince her that I'm capable of not emoting.
I'm actually impressed that you're able to do that within less than 3 decades. I'm actually very impressed.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
Even as a psychologist, I haven't gotten there yet. Only 7 years.
Well, but but professionally, you're always thinking.
That's right. That's right. But you know, one of the interesting things about what we know about couples, and this shouldn't be surprising to anybody, is that we only share about 10% of the thoughts that go through our head, because our brains just never shut up. The mental chattering is going on constantly, but we know that women share a lot more of that mental chatter compared to men. And the thing is, there's a payoff for that. One of the things is when you describe young boys' relationships and young girls' relationships, one of the easier ways to think of it is men spend time together side by side. They play basketball, and maybe they have intimate conversations while they're doing something. And women are face-to-face. They're having those intimate conversations that boys that are between 8 and 18 years old, they're just not having those kind of relationships. And the thing is, it pays off in the long haul for women, and that men, especially over 30, just don't have those intimate, profound relationships,
so
on average.
In order to be happier, we have to be open, and we have to be what? Curious?
Open, curious, grateful, really, and really important is expressing these feelings both outwardly so other people can see it, and then as well to other people that are in our lives.
Well, I've been around for almost 52 years now. Now, in the subject of teaching old dogs new tricks, that's going to be tough. Based on my upbringing, that's going to be tough. I think I'm open and honest with my wife, and you say 10% of our thoughts, and I'm thinking, ooh, maybe I'm not as open and honest as I thought I was.
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. So, I've spent about 10 years studying curiosity and being open and receptive. It's really about being open and receptive to new experiences. What could be new is, after being together with your wife for 24 years, or you've been in a relationship for 10 years, is the idea that when you walk through the door after a day of work, is being able to see your partner as for what's new, what's different this time compared to every other time. We try so hard of thinking that categorizing people and figuring out how people work and what people are like. This is the key to being happy, is I learn everything about my partner. And what we forget is that it's the novelty that we never really know about anyone. We never really know exactly what someone's going to do in an exact situation. This is what ignites the fire and keeps the passion alive in the relationship. But we actually do the exact opposite when it comes to relationships. We try to categorize and label people.
I'm not a relationship expert. I've never professed to be one. I've been very fortunate in mine that we still talk to each other. We still engage each other in conversation. One thing I learned very early on, Todd, was don't say, how are you, how was your day, unless you're prepared to sit and listen, really listen to the answer. That's not something you can just blow off in the hallway on the way to get a beer.
So true. Make sure, be clear if you want to have the open-ended question or not. No, there's absolutely. I mean, the fact is, as I'm talking about what makes a good relationship, there are some people, we don't want to hear the answer to that question because we know it's going to bore us to tears. Hopefully that's not your life.
No, not at all. Boring is one thing it has not been. Best described as an adventure, I would think. We're talking with Todd Kashtan, whose book is called Curious, and it's coming out next month. But the study shows that women are happier and more grateful than men. Now, the reason that I wanted to talk to you about this is because one of the things that we're taught in journalism school way back in those days was don't generalize.
That's right.
So when you say, when you make a broad statement like that, aren't you kind of in danger there, Todd?
Well, there's a difference between what I wrote and what the media took and then wrote for their newspapers and journal, for the newspapers and blogs. We say the effect is small, which means that you're not seeing every single man is less likely to be grateful and less likely to feel engaged and experience pleasure when they notice that they've received a benefit from another person and they feel grateful for it. But we do see that on average, men tend to not gain as much from feeling grateful and from the benefits that other people provide to them during their lives. But here's the thing, though, is gratitude has this profound impact, not only on happiness, not only on the amount of meaning in life, not only on the quality of our relationships, but even our physical health. So there's some research showing that people with fibromyalgia, people with stage 2 cancer, that they actually experience a higher quality of life when they're more grateful to the people that are in their lives. So even though it's only a small difference that men experience less gratitude and are less likely to express it, because gratitude is so important on our happiness and meaning in life, that small effect actually makes a big difference.
I was talking to a group in Guelph last spring, a group of guys. I went to their breakfast meeting and talked to them and about relationships and about my specific path in life. And one of the words that came up that I used that I got a lot of emails about from some of the guys afterwards, they wanted more explanation of it because they asked me to describe how I felt today in relationships, professionally. And the word I use is content. I'm still curious, but I'm content. How big of a factor is that? Are enough of us content?
No, especially in the West. So Canada, United States, Mexico, this is a very uncommon emotion. The thing is that when people are asked, what's the ideal emotion you want to experience? People in Canada and people in the United States, they're saying, I want to be joyful. I want to be excited. I want to be flying around with jubilation. When you go to Asian countries or people that recently immigrated, first, second generation, they're saying they want serenity. They want contentment. They want tranquility. The thing is, our culture is not designed for us to get to that state. And it's a rare emotion. We don't really understand that emotion that well. But the thing is, that's actually one of the best places to be. The feeling content means that really you're able to sit back and synthesize all the incredible things that have happened to you over the course of your life. And it's almost as if you have one foot in the present, appreciating what's happened to you, and one foot in the future, still trying to create and sort of extend the sources of meaning that you have in your life. It's really the perfect place to be in. But if you think about how our education systems work, what parents are trying to do for their children in terms of putting them in after-school clubs, overbooking them, dance lessons, sports lessons, sports teams, nobody's trying to actually produce contentment. And that, I think that's problematic. So I think you're definitely hitting something here.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say that because some of the emails I got were negative. They thought that by saying I was content that I'd signed off, that I'd quit trying.
exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah, the thing is that we're such a go-getter, entrepreneurial society that we forget that content doesn't mean I've closed the door on life and I'm just going to let things passively fly by. What it means is I'm comfortable with how things are and I'm still seeking out new things on top of that. That's a great place to be in. And I think that, you know, one of the things that I do when I go on the radio or actually give workshops to corporations and companies and schools is the one thing is we don't have a good language about the positive experiences in our lives. If I ask people to describe negative emotions, it takes them 3 seconds to come up with 100 words of anger, guilt, hostility, shame, embarrassment, tense. But when it comes to positive emotions, we don't have that many words. And so one of the things, the first thing that I do is give people a language. So the fact that people are saying that contentment is the same thing as resignation, that I've resigned from life and I'm passively living the rest of it, that's not the same thing. Those are two very different things.
No, I see. To me, it means that I've paddled this canoe to a point where I'm happy, but I still want to see what's down the river.
Well said.
You know, that's yeah. Well, yeah. I really want your book comes out now. I really want to read your book. Now I am curious. and that is the name of the book. If you want to pre-order the book, the link is to HarperCollins is on the show page for the day. So, if you want to look it up, you want to learn more about Todd's book. Because it's a fascinating subject, Todd. I really appreciate you spending the time with us today. Thanks so much. Good job.
Sure. Have me on anytime. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Todd Kashtan from George Mason University. He says gratitude is one of the best ways to remain happy and healthy. Of course, his study also shows women are happier. He also finds that women are more successful than men when it comes to feeling grateful. And the net result, he said, is greater happiness when compared to men. Sounds like we should have incense burning in the background. Who's happier and more grateful? In your reality, men or women? Let's not talk about teenagers right now. That's another category altogether. Who's happier and more grateful, men or women? We'll take your calls in a minute. This is 570 News.